Let's go to today's topic. Welcome, everybody. I think in theory, this is a class on 148. And let's finish up the bracha today, please, God, of Hashiva Shoftein Karishona. Restore our judges like in the good old days, right? Not like, you know, but really like in the good old days, not like we often think of the good old days in Europe when we were persecuted in the shtetl. That's right. We always, you know, we glorify the past often, which isn't true. Anyways, okay. So let's pick up on the theme and get into this comparison. It's almost a contradiction. We say like this: God, return our judges. We should have judges of integrity. We're going to pick up on that in a moment. That's what we ended last week. They should remove all pain and suffering. We said yagon v'anacha could be, one is internal, like, you know, internal Jewish problems, and external. We all know we have internal problems and external problems. But the role of the judges is really more internal, to bring peace to among Jews. People are arguing and fighting, and you go to court and you settle the court. That's the role of the judges. And then we say, but you, God, you should rule over us. It's only you. We don't want any humans. We only want God. So it's almost contradictory, right? We say we want judges, but really we don't. We only want God to rule over us. Now, we'll discuss maybe the difference between a shofet and a melech, a judge and a king. So I just want to really pick up on that theme. Really, I think this is an illusion. Maybe it's not such a contradiction, because judges are compared to God. And let's take a look at some of the story. Who wants to tell me how we know the Torah refers to judges as God? Anybody know where I'm making that up from? I'm not making that up. That's why I can say it. Okay.
Elohim stands for judges.
It's about Elohim, and it's right. Also it's talking about judge. Everyone agrees. It's
correct. So let's take a quick look at the right. This is in Parshat Mishpatim, where the Torah tells us, if two people, ki etein ish l'rei kesef akim, this is like Bava Metzia. We're now going to learn Bava Metzia, which we'll learn, you know, when you learn Gemara, that you give somebody hamafkid etzu chavei or kesef. I remember I was in Camp Mosheva in the summer after grade 8, and we used to learn hamafkid every day. And I remember hamafkid etzu chavei ro behema okeli v'nigmivu oshavdu. You deposit upon your friend, your neighbor, vessels or an animal, and they get stolen or they get lost. Here is this. You give your friend money or vessels to watch, and it was stolen. So who's responsible? Anyway, so they don't find the thief, you go to God. It doesn't mean God. It means the judges. Maybe it's his fault. Maybe the person was watching it, really, he used it, he expropriated it, or whatever the word is for, misappropriated it, and then he's got to pay, and, you know, et cetera. Akol var pesha, any mistake, criminal thing, shor chamor, and it doesn't, whether he borrows an ox or a donkey, a sheep, a piece of clothing, akol aveda, this is classical rabbinic hermeneutics. This is what we call a klal uprat uklal, right? Akol davar, everything. It says everything, so I don't say anything. Everything, and then it says no, but it says but an ox and a sheep and a donkey, and then that's a prat, and then it says akol aveda, and then everything again. That's what we say every morning. Rabbi Yishmael Omer klalu pratu klal yatadan alakein haprat. So it's not everything, because if it was everything, you wouldn't need to say anything more out of our pesha. Now it's not only shor v'chamor, because then it's, I wouldn't say everything, but why to say it twice? So things that are similar. Okay, we're not learning Bava Metzia here, but just to, you know, put it on the table. Until God, the judges, they vote. So I think it's very powerful, that, of course, that the idea that the Torah refers to judges as God, and the word Elohim. I mean, the word Adonai in Vayera, when Avram Avinu sees the three travelers in the desert, he says, that's the question, is that Lashon Chol or Lashon Kodesh? He says, Adonai, is that referring to my master or my master with a capital M? And that's the famous thing, that you can interrupt God. that Haknasat Orchim is more important. Maybe it's just my master, but the idea that we use God's name for human beings is really a very powerful idea. It's the last Mishnah in Brachot. The last Mishnah in Brachot, by quoting Boaz, I didn't put it up because I'm just thinking of it now, just crossed my mind, that the last Mishnah in Brachot says they made a rule, the rabbis, that when you greet people, you say Yivarechach Hashem. You say God's name. We greet people with God. So man is created in the image of God. So we use this idea of God. As a matter of fact, if I'll put in a 30-second plug, if anybody wants to listen to my podcast that I did now on Vayishlach. So when his name gets changed, right? Kisarita im Elohim ve'im Anashim, because you fought, whatever it means. That's what we discussed a little bit with man and with Elohim, with God. So when did Yaakov fight with God? So, okay, so you have to listen. But I said it could be Elohim there doesn't mean God. It could mean great people. Like here, they fought with Yitzchak, with Rivka, with Leah, Rachel. I mean, Yaakov Avinu, he struggled with everybody. He had a very difficult life. But be that as it may. So that's very interesting. Okay, so that's just a linguistic thing. But now let's get to sort of a more substantial in terms of what's the role of a judge. So, you know, what's greater, to give a Gemara shiur or to sit in a Beit Din and to deal with all the people who are fighting? Or you want to put it in American, you know, North American terms, to be on the, you know, in the court of a petty crime, whatever, you're like a judge in the Fourth Circuit. I don't know what they call it in the United States, you know, the Fourth Circuit Court of a District of Columbia or wherever you are, New York State. And, you know, you deal with the traffic, all the lowlife, shoplifting, you know, all the little petty things that go on in life. Or to sit in a yeshiva and give a shiur, you know, like, wow, you know, lamdish, give bamatsi, which is greater? So obviously everybody thinks which is greater. Everybody's afraid to
judge
ask.
The day.
Why do you say that?
Because you make peace between people. They're fighting, they're arguing.
So I obviously, if I'm asking the question, right, because we would assume teaching Torah is more pure. I mean, that's, and I'm sure that's what a lot of people would really say, that this is like dealing with, you know, the pettiness of life, like the neighbors are arguing, zoning laws, like, oh, that's like, give me a break. Like, let's do important stuff here. So, but of course, our tradition teaches that being a judge, like you say, brings peace, is very, is super important. Now we'll take two Gemaras and we'll take a quick look at them that demonstrate this point. So the first Gemara was in Sanhedrin, which makes sense. Sanhedrin talks about the judges. So it's, Amar Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan. You have this a lot, right? I mean, very often, Shmuel bar Nachmani in the name of Rabbi Yonatan, not Rabbi Yochanan. Kol Dayan Shadan Dina Met Lamito. This is what we're praying for. Hashivah Shavtein Akurishana. This is the essence of our tefillah that we say three times a day. Any judge who judges a true judge to its truth, we've discussed it before, but we'll come back to this very fascinating expression. The repetitive, three times, Dayan Dan Din. Any judge who judges a judge, you know, they emet lamito, like they, why do we need five words when we can say only two words, right? Mashresh chinah b'Yisrael. He causes the divine presence to dwell among the Jewish people. Wow. Shenemar Elohim Natsin Sabadero. That's the Shir Shoyom on Tuesday, right? That God is found. God Nitzav is more than found. God is standing. He's like, wow. He's like, you know, he's paying attention. Nitzav Ba'adadel. The care of Elohim Ishbot. When we judge people, that's where God is. V'chol Dayan She'eno Dan Din Emet Lamito. And then a judge who's corrupt and, you know, but I don't explain anymore. Goreim l'shchina, even if he's not corrupt, if he's corrupt, it's a lot worse. This seems to be even, you know, maybe if he makes a mistake, you have to be very, very careful. But if he doesn't do true justice, but goreim l'shchina shetista like Israel, he causes the divine presence to leave the Jewish people. This is the importance of appointing judges. How much are judges supposed to get paid? By the way, upon the point, very important judges. So the Shulchan Aruch rules, a judge who takes money is worthless. His judgments are worthless. You're not allowed to pay a judge. That's okay. You're not allowed to pay a teacher of Torah either, and you're not allowed to pay a doctor. So we all know we don't do any of this stuff anymore for good reason. Rav Moshe Fine said, you're not allowed to teach Torah without getting paid. So I'm not so strict. I don't follow every Rav Moshe Feinstein, but Rav Moshe Feinstein has a ruling. You're not allowed to teach Torah if you don't get paid. Amazing. Cause, you get what you pay for. You pay peanuts, you get monkeys. In today's world, well, anything you value, you pay for. So you got to pay. So I don't know if Rav Moshe meant it like on every single shear, but it's a fact. He was trying to defend when teachers were really, really, really underpaid. Now teachers, Baruch Hashem, in most, at least in the modern Orthodox world, it's not enough to actually live on because the cost of Jewish living is insane. But the salaries that teachers get today, Baruch Hashem, they're like, you know, they're comparable to many other professions. Anyways, but that's what he writes. But it means, of course, what it means is, and this is true, is that a judge is not allowed to get paid by the litigants. In other words, you can't have a judge should get paid a salary, whether he judges four cases or six cases. You know, that's it's the same issue here we have in Canada on doctors. Should you get paid per patient or should you get paid a salary? You get paid per patient, then you have an incentive not to spend so much time with patients, which is the way the system works in Ontario. It's, you know, everybody, those Americans know, I'm sure, that Canada gets free healthcare. It doesn't cost anything to go to your doctor. It doesn't cost anything for almost anything here in the medical world. That's a problem. So the halakha was very concerned that judges would get paid, and they should get paid a salary or get paid not by the litigants, get paid by the system. Anyways, that's teaching number one. We have a very similar teaching, so whether you bring the divine presence. So the Gemara uses the same language with a different outcome. The Gemara here says, this is in Shabbat Tenei, Kol Dayan Shadan Dina Met Lamito. It's the same expression. Any judge who judges a judgment of true truth, Afilu Shachat, even one moment. The Gemara is talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Yitro's advice to Moshe Rabbeinu. So it says in the Torah, here we'll go back, Vayamoda Ama Moshe Mina Boker Ad Erev. It's the simple meaning of the Torah, which is the simple meaning of the Torah. Moshe was day and night. There's so many complaints. He was the only judge, so they were lined up. And Yitro said, you can't make people wait for justice. Justice delayed is justice denied. So yeah, this is crazy. You need assistance. But Moshe was doing all he could. He was there from morning till evening. So the Gemara says, that can't be. Maybe it doesn't mean that. I don't know. And the Gemara is saying it, I'll preach Rush. So it says, no, it just meant he was there a little bit. Moshe spent an hour a day, or 1 hour, afilu shachat. It's as if he becomes partners with God. The Gemara doesn't really finish the equation here. It's like, if he's doing it all day, that seems to be. If he does 1 hour, that's like, wow, whatever, he's like all day. But the Gemara doesn't actually say that. The Gemara says, if you judge for 1 hour, you become a partner with God in the creation of the world. How do we know that? It says, Vayamoda Ama Moshe Mina Boker Ada Erev. I mean, in other words, why does it say from day to night? Because it says, Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Boker. It's a very sort of funny, idea. The proof text of the Gemara is very interesting, right? The Gemara is saying that, Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Boker Yom Echad. So we have that expression, Boker Ad Erev, even though it's the opposite, right? Because it's in the creation, it's Erev and Boker, and by Moshe, it's Boker and Erev. Nonetheless, the Talmudic rabbis want to equate the two and say, Boker and Erev, that's creation. Sitting in judgment is your partnership with God in creation. So that's really, we get a little bit of a feel of what we're praying for. Being a judge is really, really hard. It's the standards to be a judge. You're bringing God's presence to the world. You're God's partner in the world. So it's very important. That's why we have to, and it's very hard. It's very hard to find judges who are good. And even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't, right? That's the famous idea. And it says, Anashim Chachamim, Yedonim, Nivonim, all the requirements. And then I should have put this up too. When Sefer Dvarim, Moshe doesn't repeat them all. So he couldn't find. You couldn't find, it's impossible to find somebody, because one of the requirements of a judge is he's sone betza. So what's betza? We're going to read next week. We're going to read, Yehuda says, ma betza, Kinarogat Achinu. What, so Betza, again, it's unclear what it means, but it seems to be, what gain do we get? What money? What do we have to kill Yosef? Let's just sell him. We don't have to kill him. We'll make a few bucks. We'll get rid of him and we'll wipe our hands from him. All right. Ma Betza, ki na roget achinu. So, sone Betza, people who hate gain, as they say this word now, you know, transactional. You know, your whole approach to life is transactional. No, there are values in life. Not everything is a monetary transaction. So you want a judge who hates Betza. And it's hard to find people like that. But anyways, but that's what we're praying for. That's why we say Karishonan, that we spoke last week. Maybe it's Moshe, Aaron, David, Shlomo. These are the type of judges, which is why, and we'll get there in a few minutes, today we try to avoid Dinei Torah. We don't really do Dinei Torah anymore. At least we try not to. We'll get there in a couple minutes. Okay. Let me go over. I'm sure in case people don't remember. I don't know what the rule is. How often, like how many weeks apart does a shir have to be that I can say an idea I said before? But I'll ask you. You'll tell me. What does it mean? Kol Dayan. What's Din Emet Lamito? You have to judge Din truth to truth. Why does it say any judge who judges Din Emet? What's Emet Lamito? Truth. Either it's true or it's not. We all know that. Sheker is wobbly, right? Shin Kuf Reish, it's next to each other, one leg. Sheker's wobbly, it changes all the time. Emet is Emet. Emes is Emet. You know, what do you mean Emet la'amito, truth to truth? So anybody remember what we discussed, the comment of the Drisha or the Prisha? I forget which one. It's written by the same person. The Drisha and the Prisha are the commentaries of Rav Yehoshua Falk. That's the early, there were two Rav Yehoshua Falks in Jewish history. Famous Yehoshua. One is the Pnei Yehoshua, who lived in the 18th century, wrote a commentary in Talmud. He was involved, like any rabbi in the 18th century, involved in the Emden Neibschitz controversy. He wrote a commentary on the Gemara. Then there's the earlier Pnei Yehoshua in the 16th century, who wrote a commentary on the Torah, two commentaries, known the Drisha and the Prisha. The Drosh, to seek out, and the Frosh, to explain. That's the commentary on the Torah. So when the Torah, in the beginning of Choshen Mishpat, the Torah was the forerunner of the Shulchan Aruch. Yaakov Bal HaTurim lived in the 14th century. I mean, his father was born in 1270. So I guess he lived basically in the 14th century in Spain, the Torah. And then the Shulchan Aruch just copied his template and updated it. So when the Torah talks about in the beginning of Choshen Mishpat, the section of the Shulchan Aruch, the section of the Torah Shulchan Aruch that deals with the laws of judges, he quotes this Gemara, called Dayan Shadan Din Emet Lamito. So the Prisha there explains, what does it mean, Emet Lamito? Anybody remember now with that long introduction?
I can take a guess.
Yes.
Something that can be true technically, but it also has to appear true to the common man.
So you're on the right. That's an interesting explanation. Not exactly what it says, although I think that there is truth to that. That is true. What you're saying is very true in halachic psak. The Gemara says a rabbi is not supposed to say a davar tamua. Sometimes the halacha is A, but the rabbi can't say it. Now this again, and it gets very, very, very difficult. It can be misused, of course. But basically the Gemara is saying there is public policy. It's true. There is public policy issues that aren't pure halacha, but what we call meta-halachic issues that have to influence halacha. Because if the rabbi says something too crazy, the people are going to think he's nuts, or they're not going to listen, or they're going to misinterpret. So that's true. I don't know that this is exactly what he's saying for what the priest says is slightly different, but I think it's along the same lines. That Din Emet Lamito, as he puts it, and it's so, it's reform. There was no reform movement, you know, but it sounds like a reform rabbi. It's the judgment has to be true, Lefi HaMakomu, Lefi HaZman, according to the time and the place. That something can be true in theory, but not in practice. In other words, this is what I always say all the time. I teach, you know, in chat, one of the classes I teach, contemporary halakha, grade 12. So I tell them, you know, what's the definition of halakha? It's not so simple to halakha means to walk, a way of life, whatever. But then I'd say halakha is an art and a science. It's not a pure science. It is a science. There's scientific rules, just like the rules of physics, the rules of halakha. You can't break through. You walk out of a 10-story building, you're going to die because the rules can't say, I don't agree with the rules of gravity. Like, you can agree or disagree all you want. The rules of gravity are going to kill you. So too, the rules of halakha. What do you mean? I don't agree with it. What do you mean that? It's not how it works. I mean, yeah, it's, of course, it's not practically the same, but conceptually the same. But halacha is much more. It's an art. And I always say that the halacha is really the intersection of an unchanging Torah and an ever-changing reality. The halacha is for real life, how we walk, how we live our life. So since reality changes all the time, the halacha changes all the time. That's why we need poskim in every generation. That's why the Torah always says, Ela shofet, hashiva shofteinu, Asher Yeh Bayamim Ha'Heim, who's in those days. What do we do? Why don't I go to the 18th century? No. We don't ask for Moshe Feinstein anymore. It's good as a, you know, basis, but we have to ask the rabbis of today. Maybe the situation is different. The application of the never-changing Torah is very different. So that's what basically the Drisha is saying. Lefi ha-makom u-lefi ha-zman. The halakha has to be applied to the reality. So there can be a principle of the Torah that's great, but you know what? It doesn't apply here. And take any issue today we're facing, all the women's issues for sure. This is all the time.
The rules of war.
I'm sorry?
The rules for the soldiers in war.
Right. What do you mean by that?
That the rabbis are dealing with, what do the soldiers do in war?
Oh, right. So that you already have in the Gemara, different halakhot that apply. But that's like a shat hadchak. That's a general principle that when there's a time of need, you're allowed to be lenient in halakha. Like they don't have to do, the Gemara says a soldier doesn't have to do netilat yadayim. Okay, so whether that applies today, you can, are our soldiers the same soldiers? Are the armies are different? You know, whatever, right? So, but that's what he says. Din emet lamito, something can be absolutely true, but can be totally false, can be totally misapplied. So, and which means, of course, a judge, as I once heard, I didn't hear this directly. Somebody once told me that he was learning with Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's grandson. So the grandson of Rav Yaakov was telling him, you know, what his grandfather would say, what's important for a rabbi. So he told me one of the things that Rav Yaakov said, it's not surprising. I think Rav Moshe Feinstein said the same thing. I think he said it. I know if I say this today, oh, God, people are going to throw stones. But you have to read the New York Times every day. Yeah, you have to know what's going on in the world. So we won't get into politics here. I don't know. I do read the New York Times every day. I don't read the whole thing, but online. I look at New York Times pretty much every day. See the headlines. It's like it, whatever. Okay. In other words, a rabbi has to be totally aware of the situation because if he's not aware of the situation, the psakim will be totally wrong. It will be din emet, but it won't, but din emet, that's not lamito, is a big problem. Okay, that's just an important idea, but it's really true. And that's why it takes great discretion and learn and planning. It's, you can't just sit, you know, in the base measures. You got to get out there in the world. And you got to understand the world, and you got to understand how you apply the halakha. But the Drisha, he says it like right black and white, that the halakha is lefi ha-makom u-lefi ha-zman, according to the time, according to place. And I've said that many times. It's what we have today is really, it's a terrible situation where some, you know, rabbi in America is afraid to talk out because some rabbi in Israel is going to hear, and then the rabbi in Israel is going to say something different. Some greater rabbi, and oh my God, how can you correct you? This is terrible. That's what Amar Da'atra means. Amar Da'atra means because he knows the place. And it, you know, when Rav Soloveitchik told, Rabbi Riskin, that it's okay to have women hakafot on Simchas Torah, dancing with the Sefer Torah. I'm talking back now in the 1970s when it was really revolutionary. And then the other rabbi would say that Rav Schachter will tell you that the Rav Soloveitchik thought it was terrible to have women dance with a Sefer Torah. And I did hear actually from Yitz Greenberg. Both are true, but I don't need Yitz Greenberg to tell me that. Of course, both are true. Cause in Lincoln Square, it's one community, and in the YU Colo, it's a different community. And the psak has to be different. And whether this piece of meat is kosher, even that sometimes can change. And the Shulchan Aruch changes that a lot, by the way, actually. The Shulchan Aruch, if you learn Yoredeya, So you'll see the Shulchan Aruch says 150 times, and I don't even know if I'm exaggerating. I'm probably only a little bit exaggerating. The Rama says you shouldn't eat it, but if it's Erev Shabbos or you have invited guests for a meal, you can eat it. What does that mean? The halakha changes if you have guests. So that means that Rav Shachter, the way he eats all this, which is that really it's allowed. There's a debate about it. We're allowed. Don't do it. Better not. Be strict. Okay, but you know, it's Erev Shabbos. You can't cook a new meal. You have guests, right? That's the famous psak of the Mishnah Berurah, that on the first night of Sukkot, if it's raining, right, there's a whole debate. The first night of Sukkot, should you eat in the Sukkot in the rain? Some say no. Well, what? That's ridiculous. Some say first night's different. Whatever it is. So the Mishnah Berurah says you should wait, wait a couple hours, see if the rain stops. Now, I'm assuming this is all due to Yom HaKippur. This is talking when you don't have a weather forecast. If it's 8 o'clock at night, you get home from shul, sukkahs, and it's pouring, and the forecast is it's not going to stop raining till the next day. I don't think the Mishnah Berurah says you have to wait 2 hours. He's saying, you don't know. It might clear up, but if you know, you don't have to like, but then they add, but if you invited poor people, you invited guests, you don't wait. You eat right away in the, you can just eat in the, it's because, you know, it's, so the halakha is always, I mean, this is not reform at all. This is classic halakha. The halakha gets adjusted according to the situation. So that's its heart. That's what we pray. Hashiva Shoftena Karishna. We should have great judges. Now, one other beautiful idea that I just thought of last night. I have to thank you, you know, for the opportunity to learn this stuff. And again, Tova, where are you? How many 50? What are we up to? 55,000 times I've said this in my life. I'm still here, right? Wherever we're up to, and you know, never realized this. Okay. So he said that the judge have to remove from us bad things, pain and suffering. What does the word mimenu mean? How do you translate baser mimenu?
From us.
From us. How else can you translate mimenu?
From him.
In Hebrew, mimenu has two
from
meanings.
From him.
From him. Very good. From him. It can be what we call that first person, third, I don't know, one plural, third person,
third
plural.
Third person singular.
Third person singular, first person plural. Thank you very much for the English teachers out here. Okay, very good. So where do we have in the Torah an example of mimenu when it, somebody tell me I should read the Wall Street Journal. You know what? I would, but it has a paywall. And I'm sure I can afford the whatever, $5 a month, but forget it. I get enough news. You're right. If the Wall Street Journal didn't have a paywall, I would take a look at it. The New York Times also does, but I only pay 50 cents a week for it, or 50 cents a month. I don't know. I got some deal they had a few years ago for people. Anyways, okay. But if you want to send me the Wall Street Journal, bakasha. Okay. Where do we have mimenu in the Torah referring to him? It can refer to us. So that's the simple pshat, baser mimenu, and the judges should remove from us our strifes, our fights. That's what the role of the judge is, to bring peace into the world. But we have in the Chumash, and I first saw this, and I looked it up again last night in the Chamalivu, which she's just quoting really a Rashi, but I remember seeing this in her analysis of the Chet HaMeraglim, where she develops this theme that we'll see in Rashi for one moment. So this is the Meraglim come back. And, you know, they're told back and forth. There's no way we can capture the land. And Kalish says, be quiet. We can. Okay. Yeah. No, we don't have to go over the story of the Meraglim. So then what did they say? No, I lost it. Okay. So, Banashima Shara Luimro. This is after Kalish says, be quiet. We'll be okay. We can't go. They're stronger than us, right? Than we, right? That's mean. So Rashi has this beautiful explanation. He says, Rashi, why can't I find it here? What's going on here? I don't want to search yet. Okay. I'll tell you in a second. I don't know why it's doing this on the side. Normally, okay, I don't know. It won't let me show Rashi. That's interesting. But Rashi said, now we can do it, Rashi. Now we can do it. Hold on. So Rashi says, where are we here? Commentary. Rashi. Rashi says, Ki chazaku mimenu, ki v'yachol klapei mala amru. They weren't talking about God. The Chen and Raglim is really a sin of idolatry, if you want to take it to an extreme, right? They were talking, they're stronger than he. The Meraglim said, not they're stronger than us. We can't conquer them. They said they're stronger than us. Here's it in English. They said, if this were all possible, if one were permitted, okay, the reference to omnipresent English explains it more than he. The other blasphemy, right? That's what the Gemara is saying. So, ki chazaku mimenu. That mimenu means from him. So I think we can explain in this bracha, Vaser mimenu yagon vanacha is a reference, not, of course, the plain reference is to us, to the Jewish people. Judges should remove our suffering. But it means remove the suffering of God. I think it's such a powerful way to look at it. Vaser mimenu, from him. A judge can remove the suffering of God. Because when we don't have good judges, God suffers. We know God's imo anochi betzara. God suffers with the Jewish people. And if we go back to that first Gemara that I quoted, so remember what the Gemara says. It says, any judge who judges a true judge, brings the divine presence. But if he doesn't, he causes the divine presence to go away. That's yagon vanacha. That's causing pain and suffering to God. Vaser mimenu. So, and this is, of course, the whole idea. That's what we're explaining. The judge is known as Elohim, and the judge is compared to God, and he's a partner with God in creation. So not only are you the judge removing a pain from man, but a judge removes the pain from God, because, oh, you know, man from man and man from God go together. I just thought that's a very powerful way to understand this. I took a look last night at this little book, which, you know, he's always very, very funny. I'm not very funny. It's not the right word. Are we innovative? This is the Baruch Shemar. Anybody have this book at home?
Yes. Baruch Halevi Epstein. He's great.
Baruch Halevi Epstein, the Torah Tmima, one of the colorful characters of Jewish history of the 20th century. You know, some rabbis are, you know, from Moshe Feinstein, you wouldn't call him like colorful, and he was like, you know, normal. Baruch Halevi Epstein, whoa, he had a very colorful personality. So he has all kinds of fascinating things. And he himself, he worked in a bank. He was a banker. He wrote a diary, you know, for volume. Like, he writes all kinds of funny stuff. Like, not what typical rabbis do, like Rav Yaakov Emden. You know, there are these rabbis who are just like out there, you know, great gedolim, good gedolei Torah, but like, you know, a little bit different. All the Gdolim are different, each in their own way. So he quotes, he has this in a number of places. This is a favorite thing of his, that much of our liturgy was censored. So the most famous one that, isn't censored, this is a printer's mistake, right? He has often their printing mistakes. The most famous printing mistake that I think of famous, most famous means I know it the best, right? There's a famous Rashi. Rashi means I know the Rashi, you know, like it's funny. I don't want to mention that because I don't want to get the person in trouble. I was talking to somebody this week and I mentioned an article of Jacob Katz, the great historian. And the person looked at me. He never heard of Jacob Katz. I said, you ever heard of Jacob Katz? Like, he said, no, I'm sorry. So I actually sent him an email who he was. I sent him the article I was referring to. He thanked me very much. He said he's going to read it over Shabbos. So I mentioned this to another friend of mine, who teaches for Torah Motion. And I said to him, you know, I was talking to X, and this person never heard of Jacob Katz. I was like, I was like, wow, how can he not hear Jacob Katz? So he said, you know what it's like when they say it's famous. You know, the 5,000 people in the world who heard of Jacob Katz think the whole world have heard of Jacob. Most Jews have not heard of Jacob Katz. I don't want to ask here now who heard of Jacob Katz. Jacob Katz is a very famous historian, social historian, wrote a very important, Out of the Ghetto, Exclusiveness and Tolerance, the Shabbos Goy. He learned in yeshivas in Hungary. He learned in he was born in 1904, I believe. He learned in the Chatam Sofer's yeshiva in Pressburg. He was a great Talmid Chacham, came to Israel, a professor at Hebrew U, and really wrote, he analyzed halacha, he analyzed history through halacha. He was like a social historian, but he used Shaila V'Tshuva, fast, tremendous Talmid Chacham, and he wrote a lot of very important works, and he was the teacher of a whole row of, like, the next generation of historians. He was all the teacher, including Chaim Soloveitchik, the Rav's son, was very close with him. But famous. Okay, enough of that. The most famous Torah Tmima on on a printing mistake is Mekadesh Yisrael v'yazamanim, right? That God sanctifies the time and the Jewish people and the time. We say that on Pesach, on Shavuot, and Sukkot. So the term means, whoa. On Rosh Hashanah, we say, Melech HaKol Haaretz Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. And then on Yom Kippur, we say, Melech Mocha V'Solech Lavanotenu Lavanot Amo Beit Yisrael L'Mochel. You know, we say a specific bracha for Rosh Hashanah, specific Yom Kippur. So why don't we say Mekadesh Yisrael V'Chak HaMatzot? Mekadesh Yisrael V'Chak HaShavuot. Mekadesh Yisrael V'Chak HaSukot. So the Torah Tmima says, that's a printing mistake. Because in the machzor, everybody has their own machzor for Rosh Yom Kippur. We don't use, now Art Scroll and Karn, Baruch Hashem, they like to cut down trees. So Baruch Hashem, today you can get 1,500 pages, both of Art Scroll and of Karn on Pesach, and 4,000 pages, there's their machzor on Sukkot, and they're really over 1,000 pages. I don't know. When I grew up, the same Birnbaum, Bum Siddur had Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkah, Shabbos, all in one and 500 pages. Today you need 1,200 pages just for Sukkah because they, whatever. It is what it is. Much of it is very good, but it's interesting. So, but they used to use the same machzor. They weren't as wealthy as we are that they could just print books like whatever you felt like it. So the printer, what's he going to put in? Chag HaMatzot, Chag HaPesach. So he put in Zmanim. And you were to fill in the blank. That was a generic word. And on Pesach, you were supposed to say Chag HaMatzot. On Shavuot, you say Chag HaShavuot. On Sukkot, you say Chag HaSukkot. But the generic term is Chazmanim. So, Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole shiur why the Torah was wrong. Gave a whole shiur why that's wrong. It's not a printing mistake. It should be. Because the Kedusha of Yontif is the same. The Kedusha of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is different. Anyways, that's fine. That's just an aside. The Torah Tmima here has a fascinating comment. I was like, wow. He said, Yagon Vanacha is censored. That's, he saw in some manuscript or something, and he quoted, I'm not so famous. He quoted some book I never heard of, I'm sorry, that he saw that the original version said, Baser Mimenu Malchut Yavan Veromi. Wow. Remove from us the kingdom of Greece. We're coming up to Hanukkah and Rome. That's removed from us. They are, and he said the censors obviously, they didn't go for that. That we're gonna, you know, we're living on the Rome. You're not allowed to, and we know the Shema Yisrael was put in Kedusha because they wouldn't let us say it earlier. We do know that many things were done by the Roman censors and stuff. So they had to change it. So they put Yagon Vanacha, the pain and suffering. That's Greece and Rome. That's what he writes. So I thought that was wow. And then he says, you know what? Okay. That you don't have to say that way. You can explain it normally. You can explain kind of what we've been explaining now, that Yagon Vanacha, and it's, if you put it the two together, it's really wow. Like we're Rome and Greece. No, you know who creates pain and suffering? Bad judges. And he quotes the Gemara. I'll just quote it to you now. It's a little scary, but okay. Gotta read the scary stuff too. That's why nobody's going to want to be a judge. Tanya Rav Yossi ben Elisha Omer. I don't know. Okay. It's funny. I don't know who he is. What do you mean Ben Elisha? Who's it's not Elisha ben Avuya, is it? I don't know. It's like funny. What do you mean Ben Elisha? Okay. If anybody knows who this Rav Yossi ben Elisha is, I don't know. Imra ita dor shet sarot rabot balav. If you see a generation that has a lot of suffering, say Utopitana Israel, go see who the judges are. Go look at the judicial system of the Jewish people. Shekol Puranut Shabalalam, every misfortune, I assume this is an exaggeration, but the rabbis do that a lot. But it's the rabbis are trying to make a point. Kol a Puranut Shabalalam, Loba Ela Bishvil Dayane Israel. Every error in the English, any calamity that comes to the world comes due to the judges of Israel. They are the Koran adds in acting corruptly. That's not, I guess that's rather obvious. So that's the Torah Mima says, no, but yes, the Sermani Yagomanacha, maybe at one point it meant Greece and Rome, but it can also mean the judges of Israel. They cause great, Yagon Vanacha when they judge incorrectly. Again, a very powerful judge, a very powerful statement. The importance of a judiciary that we spoke 2 weeks ago, or last week that, you know, before Matan Torah, judicial system, Yitro, before we go to the land of Israel, Yitro, Moshe, it's really, really, really important. Much more important than who you, I mean, it's also important who you appoint as your rabbi, but who you appoint as your dayan is much more important. Okay. Now, okay. So then, umlocha leinu, okay, by the way, I was looking, I don't know if anybody knows, I may have to do more research. What's the difference between chesed and rachamim? We, God, again, now we switched. I said at the beginning, God and man are partners. Only a human can judge, by the way. Why can only a human judge? Why can't, on a certain level, God is not allowed to be a judge? Why not? I mean, we have it, what is it? At least twice. I think both by Storm and both by the Tower of Babel, God says, Erdana ve'era, I will go down and see. So what do you mean God will go down and see? Where does it go down? But his vision is bad. He wasn't at the eye doctor. That's like heresy. So the Gemara says, no, he's teaching us midot. That you can't judge anybody till you see with your own eyes. By the way, this is a huge problem. I was talking to somebody recently and they said something that, again, I don't want to mention the person's name. The person I was talking to, I can mention his name because no one here had heard of him. But the person he was referring to a big rabbi in Israel, said something about him, and it had to do with whether somebody could eat in his house and eating his house. And this rabbi told this other person that he'd eat at this person's house. And this person told me that this rabbi never met him. So I found that a little bit strange. Okay, on the one hand, listen, I don't know. I don't want to get into the whole thing, but on the one hand, yeah, rely on other people. But if you have a concern about something, you can't rely on other people. You have to go yourself. And that's what God teaches us. Eridana, I'm going to go and see myself. I don't want to rely on hearsay. And by the way, that's the halacha. We know, you know, say a judge has to know 70 languages. So that's, of course, impossible. What it probably means is the Sanhedrin as a unit, as a collective, how to know all languages, because you're not allowed to hear testimony in translation. Because obviously we know every translation's a commentary. The judge has to hear it with their own ears, not through a translator. They're very strict. I believe a blind judge is not allowed. So it's not discriminatory against the blind, God forbid. But you have to see. Everybody knows. You can't put your tellus over your head when you know. You got to look at the people. Make eye contact when you speak. And you know that, I mean, I didn't go into all the halakas about, you know, if they said hello to a judge, he would disqualify himself from a case because you're bribed. It's impossible not to be bribed by people. So you have to be so concerned that everybody comes in together. It's not your friend. It's not somebody you know, because even if they pay you money to judge fairly, you won't judge fairly. It's human. It's impossible. Human nature. We're all biased. To be a human being means to be biased. So we can never get rid of 100% of our biases. Maybe we can get rid of 80% of our biases. So anyway, so so only a human being can judge in a sense. God has no right to judge. Of course, on the global scale, at 120, God judges. I mean, but there is this idea that God is our king, but our judges have to be our human beings. Now, there's also another huge difference, and that's what God is b'chesed rachamim. So he said, I don't know the exact difference. So some say rachamim is more merciful. Chesed is like kindness, like you are nice to me. You are nice to me. I should be nice to you, or you're deserving of kindness. Every Jew, every human being. We have to treat every human, like Avram, he treated every human being with kindness, with nice, be friendly. That you have to do. Rachamim is a mother to a child. That's rechem. Rachamim comes from the same word as rechem, a womb. So rachamim is the concern and the love of a mother towards a child. So it's a much more.
Rachamim seems more of an emotion, and chesed seems something that will result in an action like milut chasadim.
That's very good. Yeah, that sounds a lot. It makes sense. Chesed in action. I give them a meal. I give them charity. Rachamim is emotional concern, compassion on the person. Okay.
And but, then right. I wanted to bring up something. It's a little tangential. I don't know if you read in the New York Times this past week.
Okay, you're going to test me now.
It was an obituary from, I always read them, from Shalom Nagar. He was a guard for Eichmann.
Oh, yes. I didn't see it in the New York Times, but it was in Toronto. I did read about it. He didn't want to kill Reichman. He
was
forced to, and it greatly impacted on him.
So this was an amazing obituary. Uh-huh. Firstly, the New York Times quoted from Mishpacha magazine, which I've never seen before.
Whoa, wow. Is Mishpacha magazine going to take out a full page as we recorded in the New York Times? We're in the big leagues. Wow. I don't read Mishpacha magazine. I read the New York Times, but I don't read Mishpacha magazine. Maybe, I don't know. Okay, I'm sorry. Go on.
Yes. So that was amazing. To connect with what you had just said, it said that Israel had only used Yemenite or Sephardic guards for Eichmann.
A little bit of discrimination. Right. Because they weren't impacted by the Holocaust.
Exactly. So that right. there would be no personal vendetta or anything.
So we'll get there, please God, next week when we're going to talk about Vilna Malshinim. We're going to start with why Shmuel HaKatan had to be the one who composed Vilna Malshinim. It's this same beautiful idea.
Same vein.
Yes. Okay. We'll talk about that next week. Thank you.
And how it affected him for his entire life. And haunted him. And then the last paragraph in there was absolutely amazing. It said that he felt that he kept the mitzvah of Zachor Va'al Tishkach et Amalek. He remembered him, and he remembered it, and he wiped out Amalek. And to read that in the New York Times was that he kept the mitzvah of Zachor Va'al Tishkach et Amalek was unbelievable.
Yeah. Okay, you can say, I'll take a look what date is. I didn't see it. I look at the front page articles. I don't read everything. But yeah, I do look at the Times of Veda. And often, we have in the Globe and Mail, they have Lives Lived every day. And sometimes it's reprinted from the New York Times. They do famous, every day they do some, they're not all famous, but they're all people who made major contributions to the world. Actually, I like reading it every day. Just people who died in all fields.
You learn tremendous amount.
Every day. Yeah. That's unfortunately you have to wait till you die till, they write about this. But no, what can you do? Okay.
I think it was from Shabbos. But if you look up Eichmann,
It'll
come up.
Yeah, but I did see he died. Yes. Okay. So let me just discuss one thing about Chesed and Rachamim. That's very important. So whether Chesed is action, Rachamim is emotion, fine. They're related, obviously. Only God can judge b'chesed u'rachamim. A judge is not allowed to do chesed or rachamim. That's a court is emet la'amito. Chesed and rachamim are not emet la'amito. They're really you deserve X, but we're very nice, so we'll give you X minus. So that's very nice. God can do that. A judge is not allowed to do that. And that gets to what Rav Soloveitchik points out. I want to do more. In other words, one of the reasons we pray for divine kingship after we just prayed for human judgeship is because it's impossible. We saw how high the standards are. A human being is a human being. It's impossible for a human being to be 100% correct. It's also, we're going to see, it's also impossible in a dispute that one side is 100% correct and one side is 100% wrong. That's never the case. You can be 60% right, but you'll win 100% of the case because, that's just the way it works. So life, it's never pure justice. That's the idea that Elamunav Einabel Tzadik Vesharhu, only God can conduct pure justice. A human being can never do pure justice. It's impossible. The greatest tzaddik in the world, it's not their fault. It's so and they're also not allowed to have any mercy in a court of law. We all know that the famous teaching of Chazal, Lo takir panim b'mishpat, ka gadon ka gadol yishmun, big and small. And if there's a billionaire with a guy on welfare and they're arguing about $100 and the billionaire is right, it's forbidden. It's a Torah prohibition. It's like eating pork. To rule in favor of the guy, I mean, it's not like it, but like ruling in favor of the guy who's poor, and because you tell the rich guy, really, you're right, but you know, it's not nice at $100. That's absolutely forbidden. A courtroom, you talk Lashon Hara, you embarrass people. In other words, a courtroom, you have to be 100% honest, and that's the way it is. So only God can act b'chesed, uv'rachamim. That's why we have to say, Mloch aleinu utal levadcha b'chesed uv'rachamim. The shofet has to be dina met lamito, baser mimoni yagom anacha. And that's often very hard to remove all the agent because there's, you know, somebody's going to lose. Usually in a court case, somebody lose, you know, so they're going to be, upset. But this, so I want to show you there, that's, I said at the beginning that we try to avoid dina Torah. We try to not do dina Torah today. What does that mean? We try to convince it. It's what we call arbitration, really. What's arbitration? Don't clog up the court system. We don't follow the exact rules of the, you know, whatever the code is they're using. I don't know exactly how the arbitrators decide in civil law, but in Jewish law, you can go to arbitration. That's what we call a pshara. In modern Hebrew, what's pshara? Poshrim is, you know, lukewarm water. No, it's neither hot, neither cold. Nobody's really happy, but everybody, you know, compromise. No one wins, but everybody wins. You know, no one gets exactly what they want. So that's now, if somebody insists on a Dine Torah, they have the right to insist on a Dine Torah. And then the rules are stricter, are different. But I'm sure I say, according to the technical rules of the Torah, it should be X, but l'fia makomu, l'fia zman, whatever, like it's, no, we are not going to judge like that. We're going to do things, even though it's really against what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, because this is how we feel. And it's true that maybe that's part of Emet Lamito, but even if not, I mean, there's a limit to Emet Lamito, but you have to do, sure. So just, it's getting late. Maybe I won't go to the source, but I do want to show you next week. I guess we'll start. We'll hopefully quickly, please God, we'll just discuss the debate in the Gemara about this topic. Actually, it's a very good idea to discuss it next week because the Gemara discusses it in the context of the sale of Yosef. And interestingly enough, it's right next to each other because the Gemara talks about, was Yehuda a good guy or a bad guy, right? Reuven tried to save Yosef. And Yehud also said, let's not kill him. But as you probably know, and I alluded to before with the word Mabetza, which Yehud said at the beginning, Yehud, that's a transaction. We can make money. The Talmud is critical of Yehud. Reading the Chumash, you're not necessarily critical of Yehuda. Maybe Yehuda had a more positive approach, and maybe he was the one who saved his life, but that's not how the rabbis interpret it. We'll see, please God, next week. In that context, the Gemara then talks about, I mean, it's not mamash in that context, but next to each other, using the same phraseology about how close judges should hew to what it says. I mean, obviously this is anachronistic, but to what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, and how much leeway should a judge have just to what they think fair, which of course means you don't need a great Torah scholar. And many of the Batei Dinim, my understanding is like on the RCA Beit Din, which is to my knowledge by far and away the best Beit Din in North America, the most professional run. So they'll, if you have a real estate case, they'll have a real estate developer as one of the dayanim. You have a case, I don't know, in family support. So they'll always have someone who works in the field. Now, these people didn't get Yadin Yadin Smicha, I'm assuming. I assume they're a little knowledgeable, they'll get people, but that's okay. When you're dealing with the Pshar, you don't have to follow, you don't have to know every shach in the Shulchan Aruch to know what's going on. But anyways, okay. It's getting late, so let's just quickly review what we learned. Then I'll take any questions. We talked about judges are compared to God, basically. That's why the Torah, which was a great privilege, but a great responsibility. And that's why the Torah uses term Ed Elohim Yavot Varshneim. The Torah refers to judges as Elohim. And we saw two Gemaras, whoever's done Din Emet LaAmito, Dayan Din Emet LaAmito, the repetitive word. You bring the divine presence into the world. You become partners with God. And God forbid, if you don't, you drive away the divine presence. And that's why the judges not only bring peace and can cause great misery to human beings, but ser mimenu, it could also be to God himself. We can create great, great misery. And then we discuss a little bit what Dina Met Lamito means, right? Why that phrase that, it's not enough just to know what it says backwards and forwards in the Shulchan Aruch. The halacha has to be applied lefi hamakom ulefi hazman. We said the mimenu, right? From, the meraglim, right? It's from him, from God. The interesting idea of the Torah Tzmima that maybe this is a censored version and it used to say Rome and Greece. Then he said, no need to say that because unfortunately Jewish judges can cause, many, many, many problems. And of course the idea that, that human justice is limited, which is why we don't like to go that route. We like to go the route of compromise and, you know, let the judges do what they think is fair and make common sense. Cause in any legal system, they're cracked. In any system, including the halakha, people fall through the cracks. It's impossible not to. So when you do a strict law, you're going to fall through the cracks. When you do pshara, you can seal up those cracks. And it's only God. We have faith for great judges, but then we ask God to do mercy because a judge can't do mercy. God should be our king. He's our king above, but a judge has to be on the surface of the world, only who sees the case, what's going on. Okay. Let's see what, any comments here or questions, like deciding that turkey is kosher. Yeah. What was that in context of? That the halacha works the real world. Yeah. So the turkey is kosher only because there are no, my gut tells me that turkey is only kosher because there weren't so many rabbis in America when religious Jews were eating turkey. And that is a religious principle too, by the way, that when religious Jews do something, we try to justify it. It's not clear if turkey should be kosher, but the OU gives it hashgacha. And, you know, I don't know. Are there anybody here that doesn't eat turkey? There are Jews, the Heller family, Tosfot Yontif, Rav Yaakov Yontif, his descendants. I know people, one or two people who don't eat turkey because he had a tradition not to eat turkey, but not everybody here eats turkey. I mean, I don't eat turkey because I don't eat turkey, not because I don't eat turkey. I just don't, you know. I mean, I don't know the last time I had turkey, but when it's this thing, okay. Anyways, but that's in Wall Street Journal. In many recent shiurim, it has been noted the Shulchan Aruch does not address halachot of a Jewish army. So plug for this is new for our Sidurim, for our Shoftim. Yes, that's a great poskim. That's what it means to be a posek. I say all the time, 98%, maybe 99%, and for some rabbis, 100% of questions they ask, they don't give a psak halacha. They're what we call mar makom. I don't give psak halacha. I mean, you ask me a question. If I happen to know what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, I'll tell you. That's not a psak halacha. A psak halacha means it's not in the Shulchan Aruch. You can do heart transfer. Oh my God. Well, where am I going to look? I'm going to do heart transfer. Brain death. Where in the world am I going to find out brain death? And that is new. Right. Questions of the army. So that's a posek. He takes what's there and he applies it to a totally new situation. But if you just quoting, you know, like a lot of this stuff, you know, people, it's and that gets into the problem with the woman asking Charlize the woman. It's not, first of all, who says a woman can't be a posting? But even if you don't want a woman, you know, posting, if a woman's knowledgeable, that's not psak halacha. You know, people used to call up the rabbi and the rabbi wasn't home. So the rebbetzin, I don't like that term, whatever, but the rebbetzin or the rabbanit would say, oh yeah, it is kosher. I put the meat fork in the dairy dish. If you know, you're there. If you know, you're married, you know that stuff. That's not psak halacha. A psak halacha only means a new situation that isn't being written about. Or even if I quote you, Ramosha Feinstein says this. So I'm not paskening. You ask me a question. Oh, Ramosha Feinstein dealt with the same question. This is what it said. I guess the psak halacha would be if I feel the situation's a little bit different. So every rabbi does that a little bit. I feel the situation's a little bit different. So we're going to apply Rav Moshe differently. Okay, that's what you have to do. So say you can't go to a posek who's not longer living. You have to take his word and apply it. So there is, but yes, that's, the more removed it is from something that we have written about, the more it's a psak halacha. The more it just says what it says in the Mishnah Berurah, it's not the psak halacha. Okay, you also read the New York Times. Very happy to hear that. Okay, good. Chazak mimenu. When does Paro say that? Paro says Chazak mimenu. So also he's for sure defined God, but I don't remember. Where's that from? Okay, please remind me. Thank you. Obituary was enlightening and a true tribute. I used to read the New York Times and then became anti-Semitic. Okay, I hear. Okay, thank you, Shabbat Shalom. Yes, Sima, you have your hand up. You're muted. You have to unmute yourself.
Sorry about that. When you were talking about the juxtaposition of Erev and Boker and Boker at Erev with Moshe being compared mm-hmm. to Hashem as a Dayan made me think of the tefillah that we say on Yom HaDin. May Erev v'ad Boker, that's framed with...
Right, that's the first one we say. Right, may Erev yaleh zichroneinu
yaleh,
mi Erev zichroneinu mi Boker at Erev. Right.
Right.
Day and night.
We're talking to Hashem as the Dayan, as on Yom HaDin. From Erev Ad Boker.
So that's very interesting. Yeah. So you're looking, we start with Erev Ad Boker with that Gemara. I have no idea if the Paitan had that Gemara in mind. But yes, that's a very interesting idea. And now it is interesting. I mean, is it Boker at Erev Ad Boker, right? We know that in the Beit HaMikdash, they started in the morning, not at night. You know, that's right. In the Beit HaMikdash, when you brought a Korban, that Korban could be for one day. So he brought it the Monday afternoon at 1 o'clock. One day didn't end Monday when it got dark, and then on Tuesday morning, right? There's a whole difference between the calculation of time. I just have to see how that plays out. And that's a play in NPU team. We go Erev to Boker, Boker there, because in the Beit HaMikdash, it's Boker at Erev. Where we live, it's Erev at Boker. Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Boker, right? That's really us. Moshe sitting with Boker at Erev. It's really the opposite because we live our life Boker at Erev. In other words, it's true that it starts at night, but except for on Shabbos, everybody lives their life from morning to evening. Nobody lives their life from evening to morning. Like that's not how we live. But anyways, that's just interesting. But that's a very fascinating comment. Thank you. Okay.
Well, Marty, yes. Two things. One, Larry, if somebody looking for an alternative to the time. I don't know if people in Canada know about the Free Press, which was started by Barry Weiss after she left the time.
It's very good.
In fact, the top story today is about anti-Semitism in Canada, but the top story
in today's paper was that Ontario is threatening not to sell electricity to the United States so that they can go dark. Trump puts on his 25% tariff. Headline of today's paper.
And if we
was interested,
I asked a question about 3 weeks ago about Kibbutz Shanah. I was thinking about an issue that you really didn't bring up. And I was thinking, the only question is the general rule of halakha that the older the citizen is, the more authority it
is. The older the one is, has more authority?
The older an opinion.
No, so actually, so that's very interesting. We have sort of, I don't want to say contradictory, halacha kibatrai. That's the halacha always follows the later day authorities. It is incorrect. That's a misconception people have. We give more respect. We know Rashi and the Rambam, you know, are greater than our rabbis of today. But it doesn't matter because first we assume the rabbis of today see their accessing all the information, and they're like at the model they use, which comes from non-Jewish like source, like a midget on the shoulders of a giant. We might be midgets, but we can still know more than the giants because we have what they have, and then we can build on what they have. So there is a principle. That's why the halacha always goes like the later day authority. Halacha, I mean, there, Yisrael Tashma has a whole article, what exactly that means. Halacha kibat right, but the halacha follows later day. And that's what Torah says. Ela shofeda shiriyeh bayami mahem. Where Moshe Feinstein, we've said many times, writes in his introduction, I'm going to disagree with the rabbis before me. They're greater than I am. I'm not saying I'm greater than they're. It doesn't matter. That's not the halacha works differently. So people have a hard time understanding that. So what do you mean you disagree with what it says in the Mishnah Berurah? Now, Rav Soloveitchik said, we know, people who really know halacha know that you can disagree with what it says in the Shulchan Aruch too. And the Mishnah Berurah disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch all the time. It's always disagreeing with the Shulchan Aruch. Usually it's been to me, he's more strict, but sometimes they're more lenient. So, and that's why there was a lot of opposition to always history codes and all this stuff. They wanted the rabbi to have the freedom to, well, not to be bound because some rabbi 150 years ago. I remember Rav Schechter, he would often say, what, some rabbi? He told us, and he said it very strongly, halakha does not believe in precedent. We know in American law that they greatly, you know, and I remember he was making fun of it. He was saying a judge in Idaho, you know, 100 years ago said this. So the judge today in New York is afraid because some judge in Idaho 100 years ago said something. He said the halakha doesn't work that way. We don't really care. I mean, we care in the sense that, oh, maybe he has some insight that I want to apply. But the fact that some posek, greater posek than our poskim, the fact that the Chatam Sofer or the Nodeb Yehuda or, you know, or the Shachar, the Taz says something, it's very nice, very nice. But I don't think, I meaning the posek days, I disagree in our situation, then they have that right to disagree.
Yeah, but I'm thinking more about the Gemara time. But
yeah, so we're not allowed to disagree with the Gemara, right? Right. So really, a great question, and this really requires, Rabbi, we need to have a whole shira on this, like a whole, but right, why is it, and it's not so clear why it's so, but it is accepted in halacha that we're not allowed to disagree with the Gemara.
Even within the Gemara.
Within the Gemara, no, Abayin Rava, no, the later authorities in the Gemara will disagree with the earlier. Generally, Amoraim don't disagree with Tanaim, because that's like a different time period. And that makes sense, because until the Tanaim, it was an oral law, and then it became a written law. It's like a different quality of law. So, and even there, there's exceptions. The Gemara says, Rav Tana, Upalik Rav, would argue with the Tanaim. But earlier generations for sure argue, later generations for sure argue within earlier generations within the same sort of framework. But it's really a broad topic that 10:30 on Friday morning, like early Shabbos. I mean, that's some of the rules. I'm happy to talk about it at greater length another time. And Mar, if you want privately, we can continue. But, I think the halacha is much more, I don't know what the words are, pluralistic or that the word, people don't like that word. I don't know. Talach is much more leeway than people think it does. Talach is much more flexible, I guess, than people often assume it is. That's what I said right at the beginning of class. Talach is the intersection between Torah, which never changes, and reality that always changes. So it means when they go together, the outcome is going to be different. You put in new input, the outcome is different. So that's, I think. But it's complicated. It's that's why we need Hashiva Shoftei Karishna. We need great judges who have human insight, who understand the world around them, or done even at Lamito. And they're hard to find. It's hard to find great rabbis. So, every generation complains. But we were blessed, as Rav Sala, as I forget, I think whoever, I heard this from many people, in the post-war generation was blessed with leaders that Jewish history had not seen for a long time. And diverse leaders, Rav Soloveitchik for the modern Orthodox world, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Aaron Cutler in the Hasidic world. I mean, he had great, great leaders with vision and charisma and leadership, unbelievable. And after the Holocaust, we needed it. Today, we don't have that. I don't think I'm just saying it, oh, remember the good old days. And there's just no comparison. no comparison. And that was, I think, God. I don't know how God works. What do I know? But the assumption is after the Holocaust, God blessed us with these amazing leaders who rebuilt Jewish life. And now it's rebuilt. So we have other issues. We need a different type of rabbi today, different type of judges. Okay. All right. We can stop here. We'll see.
I think Rav Atzumi Menuk is what Paro says right at the beginning when he's
talking to his people. Right. Of course. Right. Habani Chakmalo Penyer Behavayaki Tigrana. Right. It's right there. Right. Right. There'll be Rav Atzumi Menuk, or I don't know if it's on that pasuk. Yeah. Correct. Oh, so you're saying, right, he's referring to God. How does that refer to God?
Referring to Bnei Israel.
Right, the Jewish people are stronger than the Egyptians. There'll be Rabbi Menu, the Egyptians. I don't think there it has a divine connotation. But anyways, okay. But I really want to wish everybody a Shabbat Shalom. Hope to learn with you soon. Be well. Rabbi Liebtag, Sunday morning. And okay, everybody have a Shabbat Shalom. We should hear good things. And enjoy the weather, if any skiers out there. And okay, be well, everybody. Thank you. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay, thank you.